The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Buried, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it in for the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, and Kyle Yeomans.
I feel like this drop is just building the anticipation. Okay, welcome in to Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company here from the Star in Frisco. Happy holidays, everybody, as we are turning the page to the Christmas Eve matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Cowboys welcome it in their hated NFC East divisional foe to AT&T Stadium on Saturday. Don't like him at all. Chris Beam in the back with the extra production work this morning.
Fire.
We've got Patrick No-See Walker. Yeah, you know, Beamer, he just muted it on the program, but he's back there just still rocking with it.
If Beamer wasn't getting ready for an NFL game, like to play a game, I wonder what his pregame ritual would be.
Just listen to
my pregame
ritual. Yeah, what's your pregame ritual?
Gosh. Everybody's got to have one.
Everybody has
I'm 44 years old. I got to stretch a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That counts.
You know how that is.
Stretching matters.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I'll be feeling it for a week later.
Stretching matters.
So, and honestly, if you guys don't know what Beam does on game day, he's running up and down the sidelines already.
Yeah, he is.
He's doing some stuff.
Tons of cardio.
Kyle, what would be your pregame ritual?
I like to lock in, listen to music a little bit.
What kind of music are you listening to, Kyle?
A little bit of everything.
Oh, so a little jazz?
Nah, I mean, it's got to be a little harder than jazz.
Country.
No, I don't think I would listen to, hard country. This is exactly what I'd listen to that's in the background right now. This is what it'd be.
Deck the Halls.
It'd just be me, sitting there with the headphones on. I'd be like...
I would be very worried. Mm.
No, I think it'd probably be, R&B.
What?
A little R&B, a little rap.
R&B?
Yeah, honestly, I'm all over the place, dude.
I see that.
Yeah.
I liked it.
What about you?
I respect it. What I used to do.
Yeah, come on, tell the people.
High school, college days.
Tell the people.
Depending on the sport. But
definitely hard rock, too.
For football, I'd walk the field pregame barefoot. Yeah. Barefoot. So I feel the blades of grass, kind of get completely into the mold.
I think the more we learn about you, Patrick, the more you stepping on a nail one morning makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I didn't say it didn't make sense that it happened.
Man, I am so upset with myself.
Though, I will ask, would a nail be on a football field?
What's happening right now?
What'd you do, B?
Because this morning I was driving, and I'm like, you want a drop I need to get is when the dude when he steps on it, he goes,
Marv.
Falls back. I need to get that drop.
That's
just for this moment. I'm so mad.
That's me connecting with the field. So I used to walk
like Avatar. So you're Avatar in pregame.
I have the headphones on. I have my music on.
By the way, that's a really good movie.
Yeah. We'll check it out, but it's not sponsored. So,
yeah.
So I walk the football field barefoot pregame with my headphones on, and I'd be literally envisioning the plays that I wanted to make in that game.
Okay.
So, because as you think, you create. Mm. So that was my football pregame ritual. I had a different ritual for each sport, though.
Mm. What was yours?
I was turnt.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was turnt.
That does not surprise me.
I have my headphones on. I'm in my own zone. I don't really talk to nobody. I've just got my music on. My playlist is random.
So you weren't bippity bopping in around the locker room the same way that you do
with the
pregame studio.
Yeah, no, pregame.
Because we get pretty lit in the studio pregame.
See on air media pregame and on field pregame, two totally different things.
Yeah.
See on air media pregame, I'm turning up with my crew. You know what I'm saying? Because we got to be linked up. We got to be able to throw things to each other, pick it up. On field, I'm in my own zone. I got Pastor Troy. I got Little John.
You
got
some Troy in
come
there.
On, man. Come on, man. You know I got some.
You got some Troy in
there? Yeah, I
got
to be crawling on the ground a little bit. You're then I go outside and I hit my lap. Okay, I hit my lap around the field, and then I do a back pedal around the field. And then I do my shuffles, and I do my whole little, active warm-up. And then I go in there and I get stretched out, get the chiropractor work. Okay, and then I get laced up and let's go.
See, that's fancy. Chiropractor work.
You gotta get loose, man. You gotta have loose hips. Loose hips sink ships, baby.
Whoa. Is that a saying?
It is now.
It is now.
replace lips with hips and, and all the ships going on.
Hey man, so everybody has their pregame. Your jazz and country, hard country is kind of surprising to me.
I didn't say hard country. You said that.
Yeah, I didn't say
that. I would rather say I would say DMX. Hard rock.
You were DMX. Oh yeah, I mean DMX is on my and then it's dark and hell. I had Little John, Pastor Troy, DMX, Donnie McClurkin.
It was It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. The intro to you remember, It's Dark and Hell Is Hot.
You remember Headstrong by Trapped back in the day? You remember Headstrong?
I remember Headstrong. I mean, Headstrong was
the song.
Little John. I mean,
no, different.
Cool J.
Yeah, different one. Different Headstrong. There's a couple of them.
DMX intro is Dark and Hell Is Hot. Every single time pregame that gets you.
Okay.
One, two, come through, run, two, run through.
Oh, you don't know what they're going to do.
In a serious week as this is, I'm going to go into the locker room and be like, hey, guys, what's your pregame ritual?
Absolutely. You got to do it.
What's going on? Especially what's going on in your head?
Especially this week.
Speaking of.
Which, it's apropos because it should be, it's dark and hell is hot.
Get into it.
Get into
Speaking
it.
Of, let's go into some news and notes. Cowboys facing the Eagles on Saturday. They both hit the practice field yesterday because it technically was like a half day where it was late and the players came in and got a little walkthrough in. But there was an injury report to kind of pick through.
There's walkthrough for both teams, so take the injury report with a grain of salt, but there are some positives specifically for the Cowboys. Jake Ferguson, who remains in concussion protocol, he did not practice at all last week. He returned in a limited capacity on yesterday. So progress for Jake Ferguson as he attempts to get cleared from concussion protocol. And I will say there's a side note that is also related to Jake Ferguson that I take it as a side note. So on the practice squad, the Cowboys, due to the short-term injury to LVE, they re-signed Malik Jefferson to the practice squad. So Malik Jefferson is back. To make room for Malik Jefferson, they released Seth Green, the tight end. Mm. My thought process is you don't release a tight end from the practice squad if Jake Ferguson is not trending toward possibly playing against the Eagles this week. So kind of keep an eye on that.
Okay.
I think those two things are related as far as Seth Green and Jake Ferguson are concerned. But Malik Jefferson is back. Jake Ferguson limited. Dorrance Armstrong, knee limited. Noah Brown, foot, but he was limited. He did participate. Jayron Kearse, same shoulder issue he's been dealing with, but he was limited. And DeMarcus Lawrence, whole body, but no, literally foot is what it's listed as. Limited, he's going to play. Micah Parsons did not participate with, guess what, fellas, illness.
Right.
The bug just won't completely go away.
No, it will not.
In the Cowboys locker room. So keep an eye on Micah Parsons. We'll see if he participates in practice on today's Wednesday, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, short week, so yeah, throwing the days off. Going to the Philadelphia Eagles side of the equation, as expected, Jalen Hurts, shoulder sprain, did not participate. Gardner Minshew did not participate either, but he was excused for personal reasons. I believe he was at the Mike Leach.
I think he was.
I believe he's at the Mike Leach Memorial. But he's expected back at practice on Wednesday. I'm sorry. See the days. Zach Pascal, concussion protocol. The wide receiver did not participate. And Kevon Wallace, the safety with a hip injury, did not participate. So four DMPs for the Eagles, most notably Jalen Hurts with the shoulder. And it is now officially, we were trying to figure it out because there were conflicting reports yesterday, even though the video was pretty obvious. It's listed on the injury report as right shoulder.
Throwing shoulder.
It was conflicting everywhere but here at Talking Cowboys. Because we watched the film.
So it is official.
Boom!
It is a shoulder sprain in his throwing shoulder, which exponentially decreases the odds of him taking the field on a short week against the Cowboys.
Okay, so today we preview the Cowboys defense versus the Philly offense. They lose one guy, potentially, in Jalen Hurts. They get one guy back. In Dallas Goedert. He is now activated and back and ready to play against Dallas. So, with that being said, how significant is this for the Cowboys? Or, I mean, Cowboys defense, Philly offense, but Philly offense is really kind of what I'm leaning toward. How significant is it the fact that they will not have Jalen Hurts? Is he that big of an impact player?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
He is that big of an impact player.
I'm just asking the question. No, I mean, I'm not leading on.
I know
on
you don't
anything.
Agree, but I mean, so yes, he is that great of an impact player. He is that important to that organization, much like a Dak Prescott is that important to the Dallas Cowboys. But much like the Dallas Cowboys, Dallas was able to get the dubs while Dak was out.
Yeah.
So don't expect the Philadelphia Eagles to just all of a sudden be able to find a way to get W's with Jalen Hurts potentially out. These guys are still a threat. These guys are still dangerous. These guys still have weapons, right? If this is true, if Jalen Hurts cannot play, then Micah Parsons, you have an opportunity to prove your statements that you had last week right.
When it comes to Jalen Hurts, here's a little bit of science as far as his
science.
Value, right? This is a guy who he's the second leading rusher on the team behind only Miles Sanders, 747 rushing yards.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, that's damn
good. Yeah, science!
That's good for a running back.
Yep.
He's a quarterback.
QB, baby.
Okay. He also has 13 rushing touchdowns.
That's
leads
all?
The team.
That's all?
In rushing touchdowns. Yeah, that's all.
That's just 13. Through what, 14 weeks?
Yeah,
15 weeks?
Yeah, just weeks. Averaging almost a touchdown a game. Almost a rushing touchdown a game. And that's not to mention what he does in the passing game with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and, you know, Dallas Goedert, when Dallas Goedert was on the field with him. So to answer your question, simply put, yes, Jalen Hurts is infinitely more valuable to what the Eagles have done than Dallas Goedert's return would be, and that's why the Eagles continue to win without Dallas Goedert. Not to say they don't need Dallas Goedert, because obviously he's a playmaker as well.
Yeah.
But if you're weighing the two against each other, the loss of Hurts wildly outweighs the re-addition of Dallas Goedert. But like Isaiah said, this is a Cooper Rush scenario for the Philadelphia Eagles, which is, it's just poetic justice, right? Because the Eagles beat up on Cooper Rush for 3 interceptions and won that game. And now in the rematch, the Cowboys will likely be up against the Eagles backup. And let's see what the Cowboys can do against the Eagles backup. But Gardner Minshew, like Cooper Rush, is serviceable and win you some games, and he's got the weapons.
If there wasn't video of Jalen Hurts getting hurt, like if there wasn't like a clear play where you could say, oh, yeah, Jalen Hurts is a little banged up, and then watch the rest of the game, and it's like, oh, yeah, he's a little banged up, playing through it. I would think this would be total gamesmanship from Philly, and it still might be. Who knows? I don't think it is, but it might be. There's like a 0.1% chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
You think about it, you're thinking, like you said, poetic justice. Cooper Rush was there the first time around. Now it's Gardner Minshew, and this is going to be great. And then Jalen Hurts trots out there on Saturday, and he's ready to roll. Like that would blow my mind. That'd be such a Philly thing to do. So I think Jalen Hurts is a difference maker because of a couple reasons. One, he takes care of the football.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, he provides an element to that offense that isn't necessarily there without him.
Bingo.
But where is the drop-off most notable between Jalen Hurts and Gardner Minshew, Isaiah? Because you mentioned it yesterday. You like Minshew.
I do.
You like him as a quarterback, as a guy who comes in and is serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do a lot of different things, that makes you great. If you're good, where is the drop-off? Because Gardner Minshew isn't Jalen Hurts for a reason.
No, I mean, versatility. I mean, you talk about not only confidence within the organization and within the roster, trusting him to be able to execute and make plays and things of that nature. You know, then you have to look at the scheme. What is their scheme? RPO, zone read, those types of things. Can Minshew do that? I'm sure he can. Can he do it to that level? No. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, anybody can really run that stuff. He's athletic enough to run the RPO-type offense. I'm going to say that Gardner Minshew is athletic enough to run that offense. Is he going to run it to the same level of a Jalen Hurts? Absolutely freaking not. Mm-hmm. So that is why there's a huge drop-off there. Can he make those same throws that Jalen Hurts can make? Absolutely not. He doesn't have that strong of an arm. He's not as accurate as him. He is a backup quarterback for a reason. He's been that in everywhere, every stop that he's made. That's no disrespect. Still one of the best in the world, just not a starter in the league. I believe that when we talk about the word serviceable, I think there's some guys that are serviceable, and I think that there's some guys that are serviceable, but you can still run your offense. I think Dallas had to change their offense with Cooper Rush at the quarterback position. I don't think that Philadelphia changes their offense that drastically with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Now, are they going to ask him to run the ball as much? Are they going to tell him that, hey, you have the full availability to pull this thing whenever you want to? I don't think he's going to have as much freedom, nowhere near it probably, but I think that they're still going to keep the identity of their offense. So, yes, you're looking at a different quarterback. Yes, you're looking at somebody who's not as capable, but I think, like I said, I'm going to keep going back to the statement Micah made because he made it. Right, he said that Jalen Hurts is only noticeable because of the fact that he has all the talent around him. Well, here's your chance.
Yeah, we're finding out, right?
Well, for me, it's everything Isaiah said, you know, period. I mean, exclamation point. He nailed it on all points. Point number one, primarily, it's the rushing attack. There's a huge difference there. So while you'll probably see a couple of RPOs, mm-hmm. because Minshew does have enough athleticism to run them, if you're the Cowboys defense, if you're any defense going against Gardner Minshew versus Jalen Hurts, are you afraid that he's going to take it to the house? No, you are definitely afraid that Jalen Hurts is going to make somebody miss and end up turning that, you know, 3-yard third down conversion into a 65-yard touchdown, because it can happen. And then in the air, like Isaiah so eloquently said, while Gardner Minshew can make all the throws, he doesn't have the arm strength. He doesn't have the cannon that Jalen Hurts has. So it's just, it creates a situation where the dynamic of the level of threat that Jalen Hurts presents is just simply not presented in Gardner Minshew. I don't think that the Eagles will change their playbook, but I could see, similar to what the Cowboys did with Cooper Rush, they put a cap on the playbook. Right, they scaled it back quite a bit. So that should ideally, theoretically, make it easier for the Cowboys to scheme, because they don't have to scheme as much of the Eagles playbook. So again, advantage Cowboys. With an asterisk, Gardner Minshew can still win you games, and he still has a lot of weapons around him.
Yep, you got to prepare the same way, whether it's Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew. And this defense has a lot of things that they have to fix from week 15 into week 16. We're going to start naming those things when we come back. Where is the biggest impact needed from the defense this week, and the biggest improvement on Dan Quinn's unit? When we come back with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, equal housing lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ooh. DJ Chris Beam in the house, baby. It's Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Get the hottest gifts in the game for the ultimate Cowboys fan, from jerseys to gift cards. The Dallas Cowboys Pro Shop has you covered. Stop by the nearest store or log on to shopdallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and score a holiday shopping winning touchdown.
Yeah, we got to get Beamer a DJ drop like Gangsta Grills or.
I like the Beamer. Do it like it's an air horn. Did you guys hear about this story?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Isaiah just handed it to me, but I think it's really corny.
It is so corny.
Eagles sent 35 cheesesteaks to Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars for beating the Cowboys.
Didn't they fire that guy?
On Sunday. They did.
They did fire
that
guy.
They did fire that guy.
But here's some cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
Strapped him to Carson Wentz.
Why 35?
I think it was – I don't know why 35.
Because they couldn't afford more.
Ooh. It was a staff member that sent it.
Because they couldn't afford more.
So that might be right, honestly. But the thought process there is that, of course, that
whack.
Jags did the Eagles a favor, which is true. They did the Eagles a favor.
But I thought
– Absolutely they did.
But Twitter had told me that, you know, from Eagles fans, that they're not thinking about the Cowboys.
They don't think about the Cowboys.
They don't think about the Cowboys
at
all.
No.
And then, okay, I get it. You're lame.
Get after him, Patrick.
You're lame.
I love it when Patrick takes his Twitter drama and brings it onto the show. It's one of my favorite things ever.
Cornballs. Just cornballs, right?
All right.
Just cornballs. Stay away from the back of horses. Focus on that.
Ooh, goodness.
They know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Where's the biggest improvement needed on this defense going into Saturday afternoon, from week 15 to week 16, where do you want to see the defense take the next step this week?
Secondary. It's got to be the secondary. You want the run defense to shore itself back up, but what I will say is more often than not since the Green Bay game, the run defense has showed up. Now, we'll see, you know, how they try to replace the production of LVE. We'll see how that works. But I'm more inclined to look at that secondary outside of Trevon Diggs, and well, more specifically the cornerback position, because I like what the safeties are doing. Mm-hmm. So if you look at CB2 and that role specifically, that's the Achilles heel right now. That particular question mark cost the Cowboys at least two touchdowns against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you take away just one of those touchdowns and the Cowboys win this game, let alone take away two of them. And now it's an open competition, as it should be, but now the question mark becomes, okay, well, first it was, can Kelvin Joseph do it? So it looks like he's struggling in that, so they open up the competition. So now the question mark shifts over to which one of you guys can do it, right? So if it's not going to be Kelvin, you're looking at Nashawn Wright, possibly Israel Mukwamu. You're looking at Mackenzie Alexander. You're looking at Trayvon Mullen. You're looking at Kendall Sheffield, and you're saying, hey, one of you guys, show me something. Otherwise, the Cowboys might be in a position where they might have to do what they don't want to do, which is move De'Ron Bland to the outside. And Bland can play outside, but then it leaves you exposed at the nickel.
Yeah.
So you don't want to move De'Ron. You want to solve the problem at CB2. So for me, that's it. CB2.
Okay. I like it. Secondary is a big one.
I respect it. I'm not going to agree.
Wow.
I'm going with the
– I like that setup.
Yeah, I'm going with the defensive line. We have to – this run defense. This run defense was a problem before who? Before who showed up?
Hankins.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Hankins showed up. You gave up 200 yards. You gave up 200 yards, right, against Green Bay. And then you go out there and you grab a Jonathan Hankins, and you come out in the first game, had 200. But after that, it was like 90, 78, something like that.
Right? Against some of the best backs in the league.
I think teams were averaging less than 90 yards per game when after 1 week after Hankins showed up into Dallas. Okay. So he had an impact, an extreme impact. All of a sudden, Hankins gets hurt, and what happens?
You know,
192 yards on the ground.
Right. You see.
Okay.
Runs.
So, if you can't stop the run against Philadelphia, I don't care who's at quarterback. Anybody can hand the ball off.
That's fair.
So, yes, the secondary definitely needs to be addressed, and that's definitely something that we have to scheme up. I think you can scheme it up. I think Al Harris can ask his guys to get up there and be more physical at the line of scrimmage, so that they don't have the opportunity to get downfield. Mm-hmm. Or that timing is at least disrupted, which then in turn gives your defensive front time to get in the backfield and get to the quarterback, regardless of who's throwing the ball. And it gives you opportunity to get tipped balls because they're going to be more contested because your guys are all over them like sticky rice. Okay, so I think that that's an opportunity. But I think that the defensive front, if you any team, but especially at Philadelphia, if they're allowed to sit back, if Gardner Minshew's a quarterback and he's allowed to sit back there and hand the ball off, and no matter who he hands it off to, they get yardage, you're in a world of trouble.
I like that. And real quick, I'll add this. And going back to your question, Kyle, about the drop-off between Jalen Hurts and Gardner Minshew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Now you don't have to even remotely worry about putting the spy on Gardner Minshew, which now frees up a guy like Donovan Wilson to be able to help in run support as opposed to dropping down with the sole purpose of trying to figure out what direction Jalen Hurts is going. So now you have that extra guy that you can kind of drop down and run. So I like that.
Based off of both of your answers, it actually goes to the point that there are multiple parts of this defense that have to improve, because you said secondary, you said run defense. I would even be inclined, I think I would agree with secondary maybe a little bit, because that's something that needs to be fixed. Okay. But I would throw the pass rush in there too, from week 15 to week 16. Fair. This is supposed to be the strength of your team. This is supposed to be an unstoppable force, whether it's Micah or Dorrance or D-Law. And I know some of those guys are banged up, and I know teams are scheming to go against those guys by getting the ball out quick or by running the misdirection. That type of stuff you have to be better at, though. Set the edge, get around, get home.
It's so I don't disagree with you, but I disagree with you in the sense that a pass rush is only – you can only take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you.
Which is
if teams fewer. Are dropping, yeah, if teams are dropping back, right? You talk about in the 5-step drops, 7-step drops, or from the gun, 3-step drops, 5-step drops, right from the gun. You have time to get back there. You have time to beat the guys up front. But if you don't have time, if you don't have 2 seconds to get in the backfield,
you can't get sacks.
Which puts the pressure on which unit?
The secondary. Absolutely. Yeah. Unless there's no need for a pass rush at all, because there's no passes. You understand what I'm saying? So now you're running the ball. If you can't stop a team from running the ball, they're simply handing it off to anybody. I don't care who's in the back. A.J. Brown, it doesn't matter. Whoever wants to get the ball, Sanders. And then guess what comes off of that? Play action.
It's what works for. Pass rush is a privilege.
Yeah, pass rush is a privilege. So yeah. I don't disagree with you that we need to get home. But teams have, ever since the first Philadelphia game, they know how to stop this pass rush. And if I'm an OC... I'm not letting you get back there. I'm not giving you the time.
Kind of playing to my point, though, when Jacksonville was running the football and when teams outside of that or after that Philadelphia game have been running the football, where have they been most successful in doing so? Outside the tackles. Getting to the edge. Misdirection.
I think the bigger plays come there. I don't think that's solely where teams are going. I think that's where they go for the
chuck
plays.
No, they're not solely going
there. Yeah, I mean.
But there were 59 yards on plays like that out of the 192.
I don't disagree with you.
And then the rest, there was like 30 from scrambles. There was some other things kind of mixed in between there.
I think the bigger plays come on the outside, so they're highlighted more. So they stick out more in your mind. But the more effective plays, right, the ones that beat you down, are the setups or the battle rams, right, down the middle. Those are the 4 yards, right? The ones that you, okay, whatever. Right?
But they hurt,
right? So 4 yards. 4 yards, 3 yards, right? 4 yards. And it just beats you up. Oh, 5 yards. Okay, and then guess what? Now I'm going to the outside. Now everybody starts focusing on the inside. Now I'm going to beat you up on the outside. I'm going to get to the edge, pulling guards, pulling tackles, pulling both of them. And now I'm going to have my big chunk play. And then guess what? Then I'm come right back to the middle. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm going to do the boring. The same thing with TP and Zeke.
Yeah.
Right? Zeke gets the boring plays. Mm-hmm. He gets the boring plays, the 4 yards and the cloud of dust. Nobody thinks twice about those. Nobody gives him credit for those, right? That's why Skip Pete comes walking to the locker room laughing, talking about how you like that. Because he's like, this dude beat you up, right? And then guess what? Then, the bolt of lightning, right? Shazam comes in and he hits you on the outside. And now that's the one that you remember. Everybody remembers the TP, the big 50, 40, 50, 60 yard run.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to think about Zeke doing the dirty work.
And Black Adam.
Yeah.
Can't be out here forgetting Black Adam.
There's too many comic books now. Exactly. There's too many characters.
Superman got fired. Did you know that?
It's too many.
Did you know Superman got fired?
I don't have that conversation.
Bro.
I don't want to have that conversation.
How are you going to have an appearance in Black Adam? Never mind. I don't know.
Because
he got fired?
They parted ways.
Don't get me started. They didn't part ways.
I know what it was.
They brought him back, and then James Gunn has now taken over what's supposed to be DCEU, and James Gunn's version of the DCEU will not include Henry Cavill, which sucks, but Cavill had the agreement with the previous regiment.
Must have found the kryptonite. Must have found it somewhere.
Don't do that.
It was in a closet.
I knew that was a touch point for you right there.
Let's not talk about the son of a hell. Shouts out to Henry. We still have The Witcher, my friend. You always have The Witcher.
It's okay. He's going over there.
That's my Superman.
He's going over there.
Technically, Chris Reeve is my Superman.
What do you think about the conversation, though, in terms of outside running attack and then the inside game? Because it does differ. I agree with Isaiah in the fact that the big plays have come on the outside. There's been these end-arounds, these misdirections. But you've got to get better at setting the edge, right? I mean, D-Law's been really good at it all year long.
It's not a setting of the –
So here's
not a setting of the edge, because the edges are getting set.
Right.
Edges and understand, people need to understand this. You don't know you understand this because we watch a lot of film together.
Yeah.
But edges get set if you want to just classify it as, okay, let's bottle it up, right? Let's make sure nobody gets outside, then what happens? Those pulling guards, those pulling tackles, those tight ends that are coming around in wham blocks, they are literally just kicking out that containment.
Yeah.
You can contain it all day long. Cool, stay
out
there.
Cutback line
I'm
going to
kick you out, right? You want to stay on the outside and look at everything down the line, I will send a 260 to a 330-pound man, and he will just help you wash you out to that side. And then guess what? We will go inside of you, yeah, and it will get right back outside. So the whole containment thing is
it's relative.
It's, yeah, very relative.
So here's the problem. The problem is right now, going into week 16, mm-hmm, right? You're both correct. But prior to this, prior to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the main issue for the run defense was setting the edge. We talked about this ad nauseum, right? It wasn't that teams were having success, and I feel you as far as the setup plays up the A and B gaps. And teams would try that, but it wouldn't be as effective as they would like those effective plays to be, which is why they kept attacking the edges. But when you look at this next-gen stats chart, and I'll turn this around for the one shot. This is Travis Etienne. This is Travis Etienne.
That's pretty good.
Do you see this, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
He won everywhere. He won up the A gap. He won up the B gap. He won outside. The only time he lost was the fumble, but that fumble wasn't forced.
No, right? He just dropped the football.
He just dropped the football. So if he actually successfully takes that handoff, he probably gets a gainer on there, and there would be no TFLs on this chart, mid to outside or outside. So to you guys' point, this week – the entirety of the defensive line needs to make sure it's stepping up. The linebackers need to make sure they're sealing the edges as well. So both of those things are a problem coming out of Jacksonville. I don't know that I'd say – because it's happened just once out of all of their run defense issues, so it's not consistently enough for me to say, oh, it's the middle. I still believe Neville Gallimore, Chauncey Ghost, and also Diggy Zua, who's having a great season. Quentin Bohanna, now that he's back, I think this is going to be his third game back, getting his legs. I think the interior will be better against this team that doesn't have Jalen Hurts to contend with. But the linebacker core is still going to be a concern without LVE. That said, when you say, Kyle, very accurately, that teams are getting the ball out quickly, quicker, yeah, to kind of negate your pass rush, secondary. And be it trusting these guys, like you saw Trevon Diggs pressing guys, and you, mm-hmm, see Deron Bland pressing guys, but the lack of trust at CB2 has you pulling guys back. Well, when you give that guy that kind of space, now you're helping that West Coast style where it's like drop back two steps, bye. Okay, well, get these guys up there and challenge your young guys to say, hey, man, just be better than this guy.
Yeah.
Be better than this guy.
Because you're not being tested secondary-wise in that point. If you're getting the ball out quick, that means you're having to cover for 3 or 4 seconds less than you would at any other point in the ball game. So if you have young guys like Deron Bland, like Kelvin Joseph out there, and of course we've already talked to Dan Quinn this week, he's saying it's an open competition, there's going to be pressure on them to get the job done, but it shouldn't be as hard as some of the other coverages you'll have to run as a young DB. So it's a conversation to be had. Where does the defense need to step up? When we come back here on Talking Cowboys, where does Philly challenge this defense the most, though? Because this Philly offense has some weapons on the outside. They have some weapons on the inside. They have some weapons up front.
In the locker room?
In the locker room. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff going on from Philadelphia, even if Jalen Hurts is not available. We'll tell you about how they can hurt you when we come back here on Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just 10 bucks with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, 10 bucks, free shipping.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
This was nice.
That's
and
saucy.
Patrick likes the saxophone.
It's like a bass sax.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Dak Prescott is this year's Cowboys nominee for the 2022 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide, recognizing NFL players for outstanding community service off the field and excellence on the field. Help Dak earn $25,000 worth of donations to his Faith Fight Finish Foundation by voting on Twitter. Tweet the or retweet the hashtag WPMOY challenge followed by Dak Prescott through January 8th. Go out there and vote Dak.
Vote him.
Happy holidays, everybody. I love DJ Chris Beam in the back, just spinning the tracks.
Beamer.
Isaiah Standback, Patrick Nosey Walker, the unmatched Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, we got a couple more minutes here. Isaiah, you watch the film as much as anybody.
Okay.
Where does Philly challenge you the most offensively?
Misdirection.
Okay.
Misdirection.
The read.
Everybody since Philly has hurt Dallas or tried to hurt Dallas.
Hurts
with,
Dallas?
With misdirection.
Bars.
Everybody's attempted it. Everybody doesn't have the personnel. Everybody doesn't have the scheme because it's too far outside of what they typically do. But since Philadelphia, in the misdirection and what it did to this pass rush, that's where they hurt you. And they make you stop your feet. Mm-hmm. You can't come downhill in the run game. You can't get a pass rush. You can't do containment, right? All those, everything that you would do to combat what they do hurts you because it leaves you vulnerable for something else. You want to get containment? Mm-hmm. We're running up inside, mm-hmm. right? You want to go ahead and attack the run down the side? Okay, we'll throw it out to the side.
Yep.
Okay? Or if you guess what, you don't want to put any pressure on us? Cool, we'll throw it around. We got enough receivers. So they hurt you in so many areas, but I think Dallas's biggest touch point has been, where the heck do my eyes go?
Yeah.
And the moment I stop my feet to try to figure out what the heck's going on, now my feet are stopped, their feet are still moving, they have the leverage no matter where I'm going to try to attack.
For me, it's similar to that in the aspect of misdirection, but the Eagles, they love making you second guess. And in making you second guess, all they need is that window of reaction time to get the big play or the big gainer. And that's where I feel like going back to the question of, you know, what's the drop-off between Jalen Hurts and Gardner Minshew is what will potentially help this young secondary for the Cowboys is the fact that you can play more traditional straight-up football against Gardner Minshew because you don't have to worry about covering your guy while trying to also keep one eye in the backfield just in case Jalen Hurts leaks out to try to extend a big play. Now, again, Gardner Minshew, he can get out of that pocket and make the play, but that's no longer your primary thought. Your primary thought is I'm going to cover this guy. I'm going to trust my front seven to get after Gardner Minshew, whereas if it was Jalen Hurts back there, it's okay. I still trust my front seven, but I know that there's a good likelihood that Jalen Hurts with his speed and his strength can either just blow off the edge or he can escape a sack and then come off the edge. So while I'm sitting here trying to cover this guy who I'm trying to keep in my hip and he's moving all over the place, I'm also trying – my head, I'm splitting two different directions. That's what the Eagles typically can do, and that's why they're 13-1. But it also answers the question of what they may not be able to do if Jalen Hurts is not on the field, as we don't expect he will be.
Dallas can be more aggressive if Jalen Hurts isn't there. So the non-commitment,
more traditional football.
The non-committal to going downhill and coming after the quarterback and having to make your reads and all that, if Jalen Hurts isn't there, you're more apt to be aggressive, to come downhill, to go out there and attack whoever's at quarterback because all of a sudden you're not worried about him getting outside of your leverage and making you pay for the big play.
That's facts.
Mm. So do you expect a better game then from the Dallas defense? Do you expect a little bit of a rebound? Because at least from the early indications from what we're hearing on the other side of the building is they're not happy with the way they've played these last 2 weeks. They are not happy at all.
Yeah, they're pissed.
Nor should they be, yeah, if we're being honest. However, is this the week where you see the rebound, or are we going to see another?
I was hoping to see the rebound regardless.
I thought so too.
Regardless of who's at quarterback, I would hope that Dallas would have a better game against Philly than they've had over the past few weeks, or even than when they had the first time that they faced the Eagles. So my expectation is the same, I guess. But if Jalen Hurts is not there, I expect them to be more dominant than what they would be
100%
in a typical week.
Regardless of which quarterback is or was going to take the field, I expected a bounce back from the Cowboys because you have to bounce back from allowing 500 yards and 34 points. You have to do it. And this is also a Cowboys team that I've said it before, they've not lost two consecutive games at all this season. There's only, the Eagles are one of the only other teams that can make that claim. So this is a team that has shown it can be resilient, and I believe that it was going to happen this game regardless of who the QB was. Now the question is, to Isaiah's point, what kind of a bounce back are we talking about? Are we talking about only allowing 300 yards, or are we talking about only allowing 225?
Oh, that's dominant.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like that's what I'm asking. I'm asking what kind of bounce back? Is it a solid bounce back where you look at them and say, okay, still some question marks, but they rebounded, they got some things together. Are we talking about just they're so pissed that they go all the way from the left side of the field, which is 34 points allowed, 500 plus yards, to 3-7?
Yeah, I don't think you can hold these guys under 300 yards of offense.
Yeah,
I don't think it's possible.
Under 300 would be a monumental feat.
That's with Hurts.
Monumental.
With Hurts, I don't think you could.
But I don't think it's that much of a drop off. I really don't. I think Hurts is a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Formidable versus serviceable.
See, but I don't think he's formidable. I don't think he's that good.
Jalen.
Jalen.
No, as a total package,
I think he's got a built roster around him. I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback.
So you are.
He is not in the elite. Huh?
You believe what Michael Parsons said?
Yeah, I agree.
I disagree.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I scouted him coming out of college, and I felt like that back then too.
So we can take the individual
because I'm on record of saying I don't believe he's elite. But then you have to take the individual. Formidable with elite. Formidable
individual
is just that,
in this system, and that's where people get lost. People get so keyed in on the player and their skill set and what they can do as a person. And say, okay, this person in any system would not be – yeah, but we're not talking about any system. We're talking about in this offense, he's a complete problem.
And I don't think he's a true system quarterback either. I think he helps make the system what it is. I think he's a good enough player to where he makes a difference, but I just don't think the drop-off from Jalen Hurts to Gardner Minshew is monumental.
I don't think it's monumental,
it's a big deal.
But it's big.
It is. It is a big deal. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to take away – what Jalen Hurts has done. I'm trying to limit the complete turnaround.
What's a bigger
drop-off, Dak to Cooper Rush or Jalen Hurts to Minshew?
Jalen Hurts to Minshew.
Yeah. Ooh. I think so too.
Yes.
I don't know.
I would.
Yes.
Without hesitation, I'm making
because of style of play alone. If you look at nothing but style of play,
that's fair.
Then it's the bigger.
Okay, that's fair because it's a different style of play completely. Whereas Cooper Rush has spent 7 years in this organization, he's been around for long enough to where the playbook doesn't drop off. You can play a similar style as Dak Prescott without the legs. I mean, I would agree with that.
Here's a fun question.
I don't think it's as far apart as people think, though.
I don't think it's gargantuan, but it's still a big. I mean, you can use the word big. It's a big drop off. Yeah. Here's a question. Just fun. I'm curious what you guys think. Better overall player, Jalen Hurts in 2022 or prime RG3?
So prime RG3 was his rookie season.
Yeah,
prime RG3. Where he was balling.
Mm-hmm. Rookie of the year, RG3. Or 22.
I'm the wrong person. I'm the wrong person to ask that question.
I'm just curious.
RG3 was my favorite player. No, that was my favorite collegiate player of all time. Okay, I loved watching RG3.
Okay, of all time?
Behind Isaiah Stanback back in the day.
Not me. I'm talking about Reggie Bush.
I was a Baylor fan.
Reggie Bush is.
I'm not saying he's the best. I'm saying he was my favorite.
Okay,
yeah, that's different.
Okay, yeah,
different conversation. Reggie Bush was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was up there too, and I didn't even like USC, but that's how good Reggie Bush was.
Just so you guys know, the least amount of yards that Dallas has given up all year long has been 239 yards. That was against the Rams.
Okay. So you're saying it's about time.
They're due.
Answer.
Why are you making me answer this question?
I want to hear it. I'm curious.
RG3 in his rookie season.
What about you, Isaac?
Better as a player.
I didn't pay that much attention to him, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, that was a false statement. 254 yards against the Bengals. Sorry.
Okay.
So they're due.
Yeah.
Still due for a big game, right?
So they're due.
Before we get out of here, guys, I wanted to pass along our condolences to the family of the Steelers and NFL legend Franco Harris passed away this morning.
Oh, man.
Known for the immaculate reception. Passed away at 72, and it was interesting. I was looking yesterday. They're debuting A Football Life, the documentary series on NFL Network about Franco Harris on Friday, and he passed away this morning. And it was nearly about the debut, and he was a legend for many reasons. I know this is a Cowboys podcast, but that's an NFL legend.
Yes, that's a football titan.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
And one of the most incredible plays in NFL history was because of what he was able to do.
If you're a fan of football, at a certain point, rivalries get pushed aside for the greatness of players, and Franco Harris is one of those guys.
No doubt. No doubt. But I just wanted to mention that before we get out of here because, you know, Steelers Nation, Steelers family out there, they're hurting a little bit today on that one.
Prayers to the entire Harris family, yep. Steelers organization, and just everyone, whether you had the pleasure of being in Franco's presence or not, you knew what kind of a human being he was, even outside of a football player. And as a football player, he was a Titan. So
no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to tomorrow. We're going to preview the Cowboys offense versus the Philly defense. What kind of rebound can the Cowboys with Dak Prescott and company have in that matchup? We'll talk about it tomorrow. We do not have a show on Friday. So no shows Friday. So we're going to do our pick'ems tomorrow as well to get the job done. I'm sorry, Isaiah. Why are you looking at me?
Eat your piece.
I want to work, Kyle.
I know you do. I want to work too. But no shows on Friday. But we will be back tomorrow with a Say It With Your Chest Thursday, a rarity on Talking Cowboys for Chris Beam, DJ Beamer in the back for Patrick Nosey Walker, Isaiah Stanback. I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from the Star in Frisco. We'll see you tomorrow on Talking Cowboys.
Has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!